Hi, 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 I feel like clapping myself. Oh, this is so wonderful, such wonderful music and spirit and feeling from the man that we are about to talk to on the telephone here on Dave's Gone By on this Sunday evening. By the way, I am Rabbi Saul Solomon, the spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York, and I am so proud, I am so filled with nachas and joy to be talking to the man who created Too Jewish. He's never too Jewish for me and for us. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a big shalom to Avi Hoffman. Avi, are you there?
Shalom, Rabbi. How are you?
The aches, the pains, the sinus trouble, but other than that, am I right? How are you?
I understand. Thanks God, more or less.
More or less. This is good. Usually with me, it's less.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wish it were more, but with me, I settle for less. That's my life. But what
I
can
understand.
You do? So new, but things are good for you. You're coming back to New York, at least for a little time being. You're on Long Island, is this true?
You know, finally, it's my bar mitzvah.
Oh.
I'm finally having my bar mitzvah performance. 13 years ago, I wrote a show called Too Jewish.
Too Jewish.
And it played in New York, and it won awards, and it was very successful. And now, 13 years later, I'm bringing it back to Long Island for a couple of weeks.
To Port Washington. Isn't that a very goyish place, Port Washington?
You know, Washington was a goy. But a lot of people think he might have been Jewish.
Oh.
So you never know. Now, Abraham Lincoln, they also say might have been Jewish. But I got news for you. Christopher Columbus, they also say might have been Jewish.
Well, he used to put the B and the H on top of his letters for
That's
the Bezras
right.
Hashem.
That's
I know
right.
this. Oh, I'll bet his real name was Christopher Columbowitz. I will bet you anything. Plus, he liked Italian. I'll tell you, he liked Italian food. But if he liked Chinese food, definitely Jewish.
That's right.
The way you tell.
That's right.
So now you're talking to an old Yiddel here. So I know from where you're coming. But how do you go and do your show and interest the young people, the little momses, in people like Molly Pekan and Menashe Skolnick, and they've never heard of these people? How do you get that across?
Well, first of all, everything in the show is explained. Everything in the show comes with a Rashi communication. Everything in the show appeals to everybody. And what's ended up happening is that people come to the show, maybe they're a little older, they remember Molly Pekan, they remember Menashe Skolnick, but then they tell their friends, they tell their kids, they tell their grandkids, and they start bringing their children and their grandchildren to see the show with them. And my show has become a bridge over the generation. And people love it, people, because it's universal. Because I asked the questions, you know, I called it Too Jewish with a question mark. Too Jewish? Because what's too Jewish? There is nothing too Jewish. No, can somebody be too Italian or too Irish? Too Vietnamese. No, you never hear that. So, you know, we Jews have a tendency to be a little overcritical, and I try to explore that, and it's a universal theme, and everybody loves it.
I don't know. There's a grocer on my corner, and I think they're just a little bit too Vietnamese for me. I don't understand what the hell they're saying or what they're charging me. That's, if they can't speak the damn language, that's too Vietnamese for me. But that's
yeah.
just
And
that's
yet
just
you
me.
Keep going.
Well, yeah, well, I need the things for fiber and my Metamucil I get there.
Right.
You don't want to know.
Yes.
So the origins of Too Jewish didn't just come from your culture, did not just come from your background, but this play also came from poverty. In a manner of speaking.
Yes, I was in a very desperate situation. And my wife was pregnant with our first child.
Mazel.
And I was out of a job. I didn't have any money. I was deep in debt. We were evicted from an illegal sublet on the Upper East Side. And I found myself in a very difficult situation. And so in my desperation, I went to a friend who said, "Why don't you write a show?" And I'd never written a show before, and I said, "What do I write?" He said, "Write what you know." I said, "What do I know? Everybody keeps telling me I'm too Jewish." And so I started exploring what it was about me that people thought I was too Jewish about. And it turned into a celebration of Jewish culture, Jewish music, Jewish comedy, about Jewish stories. My parents were both survivors of the Holocaust. And so, you know, I explored explore some of the darker sides of my Judaism as well.
Were your parents in the camps, or were they just in Eastern Europe?
My father was in Auschwitz.
Wow.
And his family, most of his family was killed in Auschwitz.
Right.
My mother was born in Siberia in a slave labor camp in the Gulag.
Oh, my God.
And she ended up in a DP camp in Germany after the war. She was very young. And they came from Poland. Her parents came from Poland, from Lodz. So I'm a first-generation American.
Oh, my God.
And yet I was brought up with this incredibly deep and beautiful, you know, this appreciation for this incredible culture that we belong to. And, you know, I think it's a shame that we should lose this beautiful culture. So I'm doing whatever I can to keep it alive and introduce it to a new generation. And every 13 years, I think I'll do the show again.
That's good. You mean, every 7.5 years. You can split it in. You don't have to wait 13 years. It's too good for that.
All right.
It should be around constantly. It should be a perennial kind of a thing.
Soon, you know, I wrote a second show called Two Jewish Two.
Yeah, Two Jewish Two, right?
And now I just finished writing a third show called Still Jewish After All These Years. And so hopefully in the next several months I'll come to New York and I'll do all three shows.
Oh, Alibi. Oh, you could run them in repertory.
That's right. That's the plan.
You like
so
the nonsense.
All of your listeners that want to invest in the show, they should give you a call.
Please. Do you think my listeners have any money? Please.
Well, not anymore. Not after Bernie Madoff.
My listeners didn't have money before Bernie Madoff. But you know, I was going to ask you about that. Because of this whole Madoff thing, and I was reading New York Magazine, a secular magazine, and these readers wrote in their little poems and musical spoofs making fun of Bernard Madoff, and they filled them with Yiddishisms, and I got a little twinge of almost an anti-Semitic content from that. Maybe inadvertently, and maybe they were Jewish themselves, but there was already some little bit in there that the fact that he was Jewish and from Jewish origin and background and used it, I'm getting a little more than the usual just kind of, oh, well, he was a bad guy and he cheated people.
You know what, Rabbi? They don't need any excuses. And any excuse that they find, they're going to use. You know, I do a little piece in my show about anti-Semitism. When I get into talking a little bit about the Holocaust towards the end of the show, and I talk a little bit about the fact that, Ulysses S. Grant evicted the Jews from the great state of Tennessee.
Gewalt.
In 1865. Luckily, President Lincoln canceled the order immediately. So there have been anti-Semites for thousands of years. I suspect there will be anti-Semites for thousands more years. But the bottom line is we survive and we thrive and we do what we have to do. And yes, every so often a Bernie Madoff comes along that makes our job that much harder. Because, like you said, he's a son of a bitch. And he took advantage of a lot of people. And I don't know how he woke up in the morning and looked at himself in the mirror.
It was a gold-plated mirror. That's how he did it.
Yeah.
And he put on his gold-threaded shirt.
But I think the vast majority of people do not look at a Bernie Madoff and say, ah, all the Jews are money-grubbing bastards. I think that most people look at a Bernie Madoff and say, here was a greedy son of a bitch who took advantage of people. And, there are a lot of goyim who take advantage of people, and there are Jews who take advantage of people. And that's human nature.
True.
But we keep going.
See, my tragedy is that I, too, am a greedy son of a bitch, but I don't know how to take advantage of people. If I could, oh, my God, I would. I would be I would be robbing widows and orphans, and I would be picking the pockets of blind people, but I don't move fast enough because of my hip. And I can't do it, so I'm stuck. I'm stuck being poor and noble and occasionally wise, maybe.
Well, I think I want to join your temple.
your temple. His temple sings of bitches, by the way, in Great Neck, New York.
I heard.
You should. I think it's a marvelous little show. We're very devout and violent. It's an interesting combination there. Speaking of devout and violent, do you get in your audience the Chassids and the ultra-Orthodox? Or are they not? I never understand. Are they allowed to attend these things or not? What is their thing?
Ever since my sex change, it's not a problem. No, obviously they are allowed to listen to men singing. They're not allowed to listen to women singing.
Oh, because, I thought you were, I did not realize this. Honestly, so that's the thing. They can go see you because you're
absolutely a
boy chick.
Absolutely, and when they come to see my shows, they love them. And they schlep their families, all 25 of them, to come and see the show.
But if
all the kinderlach, they come to see the show.
If you were to bring a girl on stage, though...
No, that's not allowed. As long as she doesn't sing. I mean, it's okay as long as she doesn't sing.
I'm thinking now to the Chabad telethon that I watch every year.
Yeah,
and I'm trying
Chabad,
to think. Chabad's
a little different, but no, they're not allowed to hear women singing.
The women can tell jokes, though.
The women can tell jokes. As long as they don't sing, we're good.
I never thought this is.
Siren song. You know, it's like the old siren song of the sailors. And when they heard the mermaid singing, they ran into the rocks. So this is the same problem.
Did you hear about that mermaid woman, by the way? This is completely off topic, but I couldn't get over this. They had this on the news. There's this woman, she's in her 50s, and she's a paraplegic. She got the legs cut off for some reason. I don't think it was aesthetic. I think she had to have her legs cut off. It wasn't a choice that one day, hey, I don't like my legs, I think I'll cut them off. It was a medical thing. And she knew these people who were theater-type people, and they built sets and costumes and things. Do you know what she did? This woman, this is a true story.
Help me
out here. You're supposed to say, no, I don't know. Rabbi.
No, I never heard about it.
There you go. So they built her a prosthetic mermaid tail.
Wow.
And now when she goes swimming, she goes. She swims. She's a mermaid.
Wow.
I don't
That's
know.
A beautiful story.
It's bizarre, but I don't know. I find this. It's all on. You can go on YouTube and.
Is she Kusha Lepesa?
I don't think she was Jewish.
Because
she only swims on. She must be Catholic because she only swims on Fridays when they can't fish. So I don't even know.
All right. We're going to have gefilte mermaid this weekend.
I was going to go with another fish joke, but I mean good here. So. Let me ask you, you are married, you have more than one child now?
I have two little girls.
Mazel girls?
I said one's not so little anymore.
Oh, well, and what's her phone number? No, I'm kidding. I just teased you, I know that. But, okay, you're an actor, right? You're doing the Two Jewish, you're mostly in Florida with a theater that you're working with. Right. How do you have a family and be an actor, and how does that all work?
Well, thank God. So far, it's working. It works because I stay at home as much as possible. And, you know, the times are tough now, so I got to travel again. And that's why I'm coming to Long Island. But generally speaking,
desperation drove you back to Long
that's
Island.
That's right. Desperation has made me write a new show. And now I'm coming to Long Island.
Oh, my God.
No, but Long Island is beautiful, and the people there are very nice. And hopefully they'll all come and love the show.
Alibi. Just reminding people, we're talking to Avi Hoffman, who is the creator and star of Two Jewish, that is playing at the Jean Rimsky Theater in Port Washington, New York, from when to when?
It opens this coming Thursday, the 12th of March, and runs through the 27th.
So you have about 3 weeks to
three
go
weeks.
See it. Don't be lazy!
3 weeks.
And it's right after Purim, which is... Do you have any Purim? Do you celebrate Purim, or is it just a day?
You know what? The whole show is Purim, number one.
Good point.
And number two, Purim is one of my favorite holidays. Number one, because we all get to get drunk. What other holiday are you allowed, not only allowed, but you're expected to get drunk?
Passover almost, but...
And I also... Well, Passover a little bit, but here you have to.
Here you can get poop-faced.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing is, we get to dress up in costumes. I love getting dressed up as Esther Amalkin.
Wait a minute. You get dressed up as Queen Esther.
Well, you know, actually, I don't anymore. My mother, when I was a young boy, she always wanted to have a girl. So she would dress me up as Queen Esther every Purim. And it's amazing I didn't turn out gay. Because that's what would have expected from getting dressed up as Queen Esther.
What did your father say to this? I mean, he saw some horrible things in Auschwitz, but his little boy dressed as a girl, he must have been like,
you know,
this is too much.
He actually appreciated it because his father, my grandfather, who I'm named after, Avrom Chaim Itzkovich, my grandfather was a malabit in the shtetl, and he used to do a Purim spiel every year, which is why my father always used to say that I got my talent from my grandfather. And as doing the Purim spiel, my grandfather used to have to get dressed up and get all the other Hasidim Lach from the shtetl to dress up as the characters in Purim. And so it had to be men, it couldn't be women. So they had to dress up as Esther Amalke, Queen Vashti, Mordechai, Haman Arusha, and Achashverosh. And it was always a beautiful experience, and my father actually appreciated it. So
You turned a potentially perverted story into something nice.
I try to do that as much as possible.
Let me ask you also your thoughts. Now, you turned to being typecast as too Jewish. You went and made that into lemonade. You know, they gave you this lemon of being a certain type that perhaps Hollywood wouldn't necessarily want as a leading person, or maybe Broadway didn't see you as a certain way. So it's like, you're too Jewish. What does it mean? You turn that into lemons. But now that you've done the Too Jewish in the three different shows, what other things do you do in the theater and in acting?
Oh, I've done every imaginable role that I have wanted to play, from Jewish
Gabler? No, I can't.
Well, no, not that. I've played Pseudolist in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, and I've played Al Lewis in The Sunshine Boys. And I've done The Odd Couple, and I've done Jacques Brel is Alive and Well and Living in Paris.
Oh, that's amazing.
I
remember this, yes.
I've done a lot of different parts, a lot of different shows, and, thank God I have a good time. I love what I do, and I do what I love.
How did you do The Sunshine Boys? You're about 20 years too young for that, aren't you?
I did it in makeup, and Bruce Adler, God rest his soul, Olivia Shalom, Bruce Adler and I did The Sunshine Boys together. It took me an hour and 15 minutes every day to get into my age makeup.
Good. Because what'll happen. You'll do it 10 years from now, and then it'll take half an hour.
That's
and then
right.
Five more years, it'll take 10 minutes, and then you'll have to get
and
young
then
makeup.
I'll be dead. And then it'll be easy, because then I won't have to do anything.
Mr. Gadach, don't even think. You're sicker than I am.
Anyway, so I've gotten to do a lot of different kinds of shows, and I enjoy my work.
And do you actually run a theater in Florida?
I have a theater company in Florida called the New Vista Theater Company. We're based in Boca Raton.
Welcome.
And God willing,
Boca.
If we survive, we will finish out our season and have another one next year.
Are you in danger, or is it just tough times and you're cutting back?
Right now, everybody's in danger. There's some more than others, but it's very, very rough out there right now. Everybody knows that the squeeze is on, and the first industry to really feel that squeeze usually is the theater, because for many people, going to the theater is a luxury. So that's why we've tried to keep our ticket prices lower. We tried to make it affordable. I know that there have been many, many different kinds of promotions for my show in Long Island. Tickets are anywhere from $36 to $18. High and double high. And we're trying to get families in, and we're trying to get people to really come out and forget their troubles for a little while. Because you'll come to my show, you laugh, you have a good time, maybe you'll shed a tear or two, and you will forget your troubles, I promise, for at least 90 minutes. You will forget your troubles, they'll go away, and you'll have a great time with Avi Hoffman.
Well, we have had such a great time and forgotten my many, many terrible troubles, at least for these few minutes, by having you here on the radio program. So please, everybody, go see Two Jewish at the Port Washington Jean Rimsky Theater over the next 3 weeks. By the way, you have a website, right? Everybody, please
yes,
go.
It's TwoJewishLI.com. That's T-O-O, Jewish, L-I for Long Island, .com. Or they can call on the phone. We still use telephones sometimes.
Sometimes.
516-767-6444. That's 516-767-6444.
I am dialing right now.
Good.
So if the line's busy, wait a minute, and everybody call back and get your tickets to Two Jewish. Avi Hoffman, all I can do is wish you such a fantastic and happy Purim to you, your two young, beautiful children. Well, one is not so young, so and then your lovely wife. Well, I'm assuming she's lovely. I'm only imagining, but
absolutely.
She must. I'm sure she's lovely.
She's beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, a Shana Madel.
I have been married for 49 years. I'm still in love with the same woman. If my wife ever finds out, she'll kill me.
Dumb bum. I've heard that joke 49 times. I still love it every time, damn it. Avi Hoffman, a prayer and a blessing that you are in our lives. Keep doing what you're doing, and thank you so much
for being. Thank you, Rabbi.
Oh, God bless you. Have a great one.
Thank you, soon.